Welcome to El Tal and John's La Liga weekly bonus. Quique Setién is the luckiest man in the world podcast. So farewell to Ernesto Valverde, useless failure of a man who only won La Liga twice out of two. His Barca side were laboured and predictable, struggling desperately in the league this season, down in first place. So Xavi didn't want the job, Koeman didn't want the job, Mauricio Pochettino didn't want the job. So they turned to their first choice, Quique Setién, a football luminary who guided Real Betis to 10th place. So where are Barca? The choice of the purists, the Jeremy Corbyn, the Bernie Sanders. What could possibly go wrong? But then again, lots could go right. Stylish attacking football. After all, this is Barcelona. And what's the point of Barcelona without the attacking principles? Maybe this is the rebirth of more than a club. Maybe Messi's final years will be buoyant and joyful. And maybe we'll see a team of La Masia graduates again. Terry Gibson is here, dressed more smartly than for any podcast ever podcasted in the history of the world. Because he's been doing the tour of every TV station that wants an expert on Spanish football. Quique Setién then, Terry. So but it's got us a bit by surprise, truth be told, hasn't it? Because the other day we discussed him in the weekend podcast, almost to dismiss him as a candidate for the Barca job. But here he is. Are you happy?
Yeah, I am actually. And hence the interest, because there's a lot of people that are not aware of what he's done, who he is. Of course, listeners to our podcast know about him, and people that take a keen interest in Spanish football in La Liga. But throughout the rest of the UK, it's who everyone's getting on their keypads and typing in Google and finding out who Quique Setién and what he's done. But I think in terms of the fit, I believe it should be a good fit. And ultimately, the way that Barcelona dealt with Valverde, the whole situation was disgusting. But I actually thought they did need a change. And I think I said that throughout the season on the podcast, that yeah, they were just meandering along. They were just drifting and hoping that Messi could continue to score goals, to keep their heads above water. They've lost their style. They haven't got a style at the moment. And I think with the emergence of Setién, who I think is a courageous, gutsy choice, they're pretty much forced into it after being turned down by Koeman and Xavi. But no, I think it's certainly an interesting choice, and one I'm looking forward to seeing what the reaction is going to be long term from the players, and immediately in the short term they play Granada at the weekend.
Right, we've got a lot of questions to ask, a lot of points made really by Barca fans rather than questions asked. Everyone's got an opinion on this. Typical of this Barca board, they've almost got to an interesting place by accident, haven't they? Because, as you say, they've been turned down by so many people. Tell us about Quique Setién. For people who don't know him, why is he the choice of the purists? Why are those Barca fans around the world so happy to see him? And how will his Barca side play?
Well, it's interesting because he took to the age of 57 to come to any prominence in terms of managing in La Liga. He had a really good playing career as well, which has gone unnoticed. He was a Spanish international. And he immediately, when he took over at Las Palmas, he took over a team who were floundering. And with players, when you saw the players they had, you could see why they were struggling. They hadn't been in the division long. And he came in, and instead of the usual, what we've come to know as in England, managers, typical managers that come in and rescue a team, that they're fit for that job and that job only.
Exactly.
And they only play, yeah, I don't want to put names to them. But
I said it.
Yeah, they come in and play a particular way that's pragmatic, organised, disciplined. He came in and did the opposite. He came in and made players like Pedro Abijas, who's still playing in La Liga. He's a bog standard, reliable, solid central defender that used to head things and kick things clear, and positioning wise was pretty sound. All of a sudden we've seen him tearing out the back and playing 1-2s and overlapping and playing off the front. And it was great to watch, to see a team play their way out of trouble. Now, I'm not an elitist. I don't think there is a right and wrong way to play football. But play, you know, that his style, it certainly immediately endeared me to what he was trying to do and how he was doing it. Then, of course, he got the opportunity at Real Betis.
And at Betis, it was different to Las Palmas, wasn't it? Because Las Palmas, there was a lot of flair involved. We were seeing people back-heeling the ball who you wouldn't expect to see doing that. The famous goal that I'd love to share on Twitter, but I'm not allowed to, that is finished
off. Think about it, John.
Yeah. where Tanner does the sort of acrobatic back-heel
bicycle
cross
kick.
Yeah, and then Kevin Prince-Boateng finishes it off with a bounce. So that kind of thing. Betis was different, wasn't it? And it was when it was good, so the second half of the first season, the ball was moving quickly, it was positive attacking play. I went off him by the end, though, at Betis, because
I agree.
In the end, they were taking more chances playing from the goalkeeper to 30 metres up the pitch than they were in the final 30 metres of the pitch, and it became stodgy and slow.
It almost became habitual for the players that they weren't allowed to give the ball away in any part of the pitch.
Yeah.
Now, understand that in your defensive half, particularly when you're getting it so close to your own goal, but then you have to take more of a risk in the attacking half and in particular the final third. The one thing he will have in his favour in this case is that he had Loren Moron, who's a good good prospect, doing well for Real Betis. This time he's going to have Messi, Griezmann, Suarez. So it will demand that there will be more chances created. And because at the moment, currently, the strength of the team for Barcelona is the top end. So there's so many issues for him to deal with, though.
Yeah.
Question mark for us. Can he manage? I think he will. I think that will be seen from his personality. His demeanour when he's been on the touchline and in interviews. I think he can handle himself dealing with the superstars at Barcelona. He's helped by the fact he's got admirers that are already there. Because of the way his teams have played, and you know, how is he going to deal with the pressure of winning games, having to win matches, and create this style? Deal with the media on a much larger scale than he's ever had to do before. But again, I think he's got the experience, and seems the type of bloke. In short, he seems a smart guy.
Here's a very strangely negatively framed question. What are the downsides of having Lionel Messi in your team when you're Quique Setién taking over?
Not one. Not one.
So not the pressing?
No.
Not the...
No.
The
not one.
Messi... Do you build it around Messi?
Yes.
Or does it fit anyways? Does what he want to...
No, I've seen actually a quote from Hees, not since he's been manager of Barcelona, in the past, where he said if he was manager of Barcelona, or if you was manager of a team that had a player like Messi, he would allow that player to do whatever he wants, to have the freedom, and his team would be given instructions just to keep giving him the ball, because he's a special player, he makes the difference, he wins you games. But he said you can only have one of those players, so the rest of them have to have a framework. So again, I refer back to him being a smart guy, so I can see... I'm excited to see... Because we've had this 4-3-3 from Barcelona. It's not going to be 4-3-3. Pretty sure he'll go to a back three again, because that's been his default position. It also would help Barcelona because they've been conceding too many goals because of reasons that you just mentioned. The closing down from the front doesn't happen anymore because it's not just Messi, it's Suarez as well. They don't have possession. They don't dominate possession anymore. So it's 50-50, so it means that Busquets, Rakitic, De Jong, Arthur are chasing around more than they've ever done to try and get the ball back. It means that the two defenders, which by and large has been Longley and Pique, left being run back towards their own goal more times than ever. In the past, when Barcelona won the ball back quickly, plus they've got 70% possession, so they've only got to defend for 30%. And then every time a team got the ball back against Barcelona, they run the pressure immediately and more often than not gave it away, gave it straight back to Barcelona. And then that meant that Busquets could play his role. Now Busquets is tearing around all over the pitch. Pique looks stressed every time he plays because he's making 10 last-ditch challenges every single game. Ter Stegen's been far too busy. So they're all problems that need solving.
So is this better for Busquets as well? Will he not have to... Because Busquets has got very many qualities. You've always been a big fan, a bit admirer.
Always will be.
The only downside of Busquets is his physicality.
Pace.
He's not an N'Golo Kante, is he? So
no.
He can't dash around. So will he not need to do that as much?
Well, I'm wondering, I don't know what people think you're listening, because we don't know the answers, whether with the three at the back, could Busquets be one of those? And that hybrid position that Bartra played for Betis, where some games you're not sure if he's in front or behind the other two. So is he either behind the central defenders playing sweeper, or is he in front playing holding midfielder? So I wouldn't be surprised to see Busquets given that role. Now, the only position in that he could play would be central, because I don't think, again, his weaknesses are being dynamic, being chased out to the position where the right back normally plays. You wouldn't want that. But the big difference with Setién's teams and teams that play out the back, It's defenders run out the back with the ball.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's so not just hundreds of passes passing it sideways.
Yeah.
They run and join into midfield, which is long forgotten. It's not something we see very often, but we keep hearing people banging on about they play out the back. That means centre-halves and a post can keep passing sideways and then pass it to a midfield player when the other team's dropped off and he's got loads of space. Playing out the back means defenders running out the back. So, I mean, you know, players that have got the ability to commit a midfield player and then play around that midfield player to one of their teammates who's now unopposed in a bit of space. That's playing out the back, not just passing around at the back for the sake of it, which his team did at Betis. Eventually, they were having too many square passes at the back. Mm. But Piqué would love to run out the back with it. Busquets could run out through space and commit a midfield player, then play it into De Jong, to Arthur, Rakitic, Vidal, Sergio Roberto. I'm kind of thinking with Messi, I'm anticipating a 3-6-1 formation against Granada.
Okay, right. Okay, and who's the one? Griezmann.
Griezmann.
Yeah. Okay.
And Messi be one of the six with that freedom, so the other five know their jobs, and Messi can do whatever he wants, and you just keep shoving the ball into him.
Would it take long for them to get to grips with Kike Setién?
No,
they're an intelligent set of players,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah, it's not only their skills that cuts them apart from the rest. It's you can't be skillful, thick, and be as good as those players at not only Barcelona but all the big clubs.
Last question now before we take a break. Well, we'll reflect on Ernesto Valverde after a little break, but. Who's the favourites to win La Liga now?
No idea.
Right,
that should be the case. We've got a manager that's just taken over. We've got a manager at Real Madrid. And everyone's saying how well they're doing. But if Barcelona had been anywhere near there, what they have been in previous seasons, they'd be 9 points clear.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they've lost this season to Granada, Levante, Athletic Bilbao. They drew at the last round of the games with Espanyol at bottom of the league. So we can say that Real Madrid are doing better. But in reality, I'm not sure. I need to check the stats from last year's first half of the season. But my guess is that if Barcelona had been anywhere near the best, they'd still be 8, 9, 10 points clear.
Yeah.
So, but with Zidane, who was going to get the sack before the season started, they're improving week by week. And now the unknown with Barcelona. I'm just grateful we've got a title race.
Cool. Right. We will take a quick break and then we'll come back and write the first page of the history of Ernesto Valverde. Welcome back. We're having a look back now at Ernesto Valverde. We're going to try and get some perspective. It's difficult to get historical perspective until you know what happens next, of course. What could happen is that if everything's terrible, Quique Setién is fired in less than a year, Xavi's fired less than a year after that, we could look back on this period of Barcelona and say, what wonderful stability. That's, you know. I'll tell you one thing, though, about Ernesto Valverde. He's written this letter to the Barca fans. Have you seen it?
I haven't, though.
A man of immense dignity and class. I think we'll get on to what you think about him as a football manager. But, you know, my time as FC Barcelona coach has come to an end. It's been an intense 2.5 years right from the start. In that time, I've enjoyed some joyful moments celebrating victories and trophies, but others have been tough and difficult. However, above all, I would highlight my experience with the fans and the affection showed towards me during my time as coach. He thanks Bartomeu, despite how they've treated him at the end. And he goes on to say, great relationship with the fans, with the players, and he wishes Quique Setién well. Just, he's carried himself with dignity, being the manager of Barcelona, which is a very difficult thing to do with dignity. Even if you're winning leagues, it's a very difficult thing to do. So let's get some perspective on that one. I'm afraid the write-up isn't good. Che Gipta says, instead of a headline, Xavi, we get a man with the human and footballing values, something the board seem to lack. So that's a plus for Quique Setién. Although he did mention Gallardo, who was getting a lot of mention, wasn't he, the Argentine coach? But obviously not in there. Danzo says it shows Barca have no long-term plans. Fair point.
Who does? Which clubs do, though?
Yes, I see what you mean.
Don't.
Yeah,
they
cast around from crisis to crisis.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are more the verdict on Valverde now. Joe says, if he didn't have Messi, wouldn't have won as many trophies. Barca looked poor lately. Just rely on Messi. John asks, who improved under him? Is coach the right word? Fair point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Daniel, anyone can forgive losing titles, but the style of football he has played is unforgivable. Wasted Messi's prime years with poverty and blocking out La Masia players. Charlie, Valverde's main fault was his use of the squad, or lack of use. I now read people saying he could have gone unbeaten in a season, almost got past Roma, almost got past Liverpool, but he didn't. And I think that's mostly down to not having used the squad properly. And Craig, we'll see either way, it was style over substance, or whether Valverde was actually pragmatic and brilliant with what he had. Terry says, as a neutral, it's almost you, as a neutral, this is brilliant, he says. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
And Ryan says, I want Setien to succeed, but I want Bartomeu to fail. And Billy, what an awful coach, winning only three trophies, Barca fans have suffered. Ironically there. Yeah. So, what's the verdict on Ernesto Valverde? Is he a pragmatic coach who got the job done, won two titles in two attempts? Can't do any better than that. Or was he a boring guy who came along and basically was just a value extractor who took... Because I often, you know, if I watch Liverpool, I think I could manage Liverpool now. And I wouldn't do anything. I'd walk around, I'd pat Sadio Mane on the back and say, well done, Sadio, son, same again next week.
Yeah.
And I'd go in the dressing room, same as last week, boys. Is that all Valverde's done for 2 years and he's won two titles?
I don't think you're many miles away from it, to be perfectly honest. He's had to make some big calls. I mean, the Coutinho one hasn't worked. Dembele one hasn't worked. Vidal has been valuable, but it is so far removed from what we've seen from Barcelona over the recent
seasons.
It says
a lot, doesn't it, that Vidal is so valuable.
We had Paulinho came in and made an impact as well. There's been some strange decisions along the way, which are out of his hands. You know, I can't imagine that he had too much say in who came in to replace Neymar. I mean, it wasn't easy coming in after Neymar had left. He's lost 7 league games in the 2.5 seasons. It literally is exactly 2.5 seasons. Didn't lose a Clásico. 1-3 and drew 2 in the Liga. Didn't lose to Atletico Madrid. So there's so much to admire. He's going to be remembered for winning 2 titles, but that's not going to be the memory. The memory is going to be the 2 epic failures in the Champions League and the Copa del Rey final defeat. That's going to be the problem. I agree with you. He's a quality coach. He always has been in La Liga. As a personality, he's always carried himself with dignity. I was underwhelmed when he got the job because of the tedious link to his Barcelona playing days a long time ago, where he was not a regular first-team player for year after year after year. But I think by and large, to win 2 titles, to win a Copa del Rey, is a decent achievement. But I agree with you to the degree that he kind of just left it, didn't rock the boat, didn't make too many drastic calls. Big-name players, majority played week in, week out. He didn't upset too many. When there had to be a big decision, he wasn't afraid to bring 1 or 2 players, make substitutions. But I think, by and large, you could easily make a claim for it. He just sat over proceedings, and which is why I think it was drifting now.
Yeah.
And needed leadership.
That's the trouble with being pragmatic, isn't it? You mentioned earlier, well, you didn't name names, but you can chuck a few around.
I don't think he's been defensive, and I don't think he's pragmatic. And I will defend him against the La Masia issue.
Right, OK.
Because you're competing now. Pep kind of had it easy. He had a clear out and he had room for Pico, had just been brought to the club, Pedro and Busquets. He didn't bring loads in. Iniesta was already there. Xavi was already there. Puyol was already there. So you need that space. But at the moment, there isn't that space at Barcelona. It's a much stronger squad now than when Pep took over at Barcelona. You know, he had to jettison, tried to get rid of Samuetto. Deco went, Ronaldinho went. It was a transformation in the squad. And then Setien doesn't have to drastically change this squad. But it needs leading. And it's so difficult. How do you get through? If you're Carlos Alenia, Ricky Puig, people like that, how do you then, you know, manage to get ahead of big money signings like Frankie de Jong, Artur, Rakitic, still a great player, Busquets, still a great player? It is difficult. It's not easy to just keep getting youngsters in.
He's a guy who's won 5 titles, Ernesto Valverde. Yeah. There aren't many managers with that, are they? But his critics might point out, well, 3 of those were Olympiacos. who were utterly dominant in Greece at the time. And two of them were at Barcelona when Real Madrid were in a self-destructive phase.
That will go against them as well.
Yeah.
That, in terms of credit, people will say it's because Real Madrid was so poor.
Yeah.
Didn't put up a fight. But no, he deserves the credit.
Where is he?
Of course he does.
So where's he going next?
Oh, good question.
I mean, obviously, a bit of time off.
It's a life-changing job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because everybody knows Valverde now.
Yeah.
When he took over at Barcelona, again in England, it's similar to Kike Setién getting the job. People in the UK were saying, what's his background? Where's he been? Who is he? Now this changes life completely. I mean, once you've managed a big club, if you've done it reasonably well, and very well in the case of Valverde, then you're in that elite list of PSG, Bayern Munich. You suddenly are pushed into that group of coaches that could manage. So would there be a room for Ernesto Valverde in the Premier League? I'm not so sure. Because the biggest clubs that he could go to have already got managers that you kind of think
are
not going anywhere. That's the one. Would I think he would be a good fit for Manchester United? I don't think so.
Right. Why? Because he can't build.
Style of play.
Okay.
I think there is an air of pragmatism. That's it.
Yeah.
Which wasn't always evident at Barcelona because he couldn't.
Yeah.
But I think when you think back to his other jobs, there has been.
Yeah.
But in fairness, you have to give the manager the chance that, you know, he didn't have the players he had at Espanyol and other clubs that he had at and Athletic Bilbao that he had at Barcelona. So you make do with what you got. But no, I wouldn't see him as a Man United manager.
So I asked on Twitter, and I deliberately made it yes or no, has he been a good coach for Barcelona?
Yes.
Yeah, because he won the league twice.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
As minimum requirement.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the failure against Roma, compounded by the failure.
It's the same 3-0 win. The same failure.
A 3-0 win in the first leg, in the semi-final.
Yeah.
And a coach cannot stress to his players the importance of not conceding early.
Mm.
The importance of scoring an away goal. The importance in having a plan, which they had no plan that night whatsoever. They almost looked surprised that Liverpool were so strong, so fast. Everything caught them by surprise, which said to me, lacked planning from the coach, who thought at 3-0 up, didn't give a moment's thought to what happened in Roma, probably thought, that can't happen again. We'll score. They're going to need 5-6 to win.
Mm.
And it was a disaster.
So we're looking at a good coach, not a great coach. Is that fair?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
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 Okay, right. We'll leave it there. Well, we're back in action, aren't we, this weekend? Back in La Liga. Barca in the Sunday night game, aren't they, against Granada?
Yep.
So there we are, Kike Setién's debut. And we'll be back to talk about that with another podcast then. Bye-bye.